The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter number 45, texts number 45 through 50, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on May 31st, 2012, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri Bhagavan Vacha. Guru Putram Iha Anitam Nija Karma Nibandhanam Anayasva Maharaja Mat Shasana Pura Krita Shri Bhagavan Vacha. Guru Putram Mihanitam Nidja Karma Nibandhanam Anayasva Maharaja Machchasana Puraskrita Shri Bhagavan Nuvacha Guru Putram Mihanitam Nidya Karma Nibandhanam Anayasva Maharaja Machchasana Puraskrita Shri Bhagavan Vacha. The Supreme Lord said, Guru Putram, the son of my spiritual master, Iha, here, Anitam, brought, Nija, his own, Karma, of reactions of past activity, Nibandhanam, suffering the bondage. Anayasva, please bring Maharaja, O great king, Mat, my Shasana, to the command, Purakrita, giving first priority. Translation for the followers of Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, suffering the bondage of his past activity, my spiritual master's son was brought here to you. O great king, obey my command and bring this boy to me without delay. Text 46. Tateiti tenopanitam guruputram yaduttamau datvasva guruvo bhuyo vrine shveti tam aa uchatu. Yamaraj said, so be it, and brought forth the guru's son. Then those two most exalted yadus presented the boy to their spiritual master and said to him, please select another boon. Text 47. Shri Gurur Uvacha Samyak Sambadito Vatsa Bhavadbhyam Guru Nishkriyaha Konu Yushmad Vida Guru Kamanam Avashishyate. The spiritual master said, my dear boys, you two have completely fulfilled the disciple's obligation to reward his spiritual master. Indeed, with disciples like you, what further desires could a guru have? Text 48. Kirtatang svagriham virao kirtirvam mastu pavani changjangshi atyatta yamani bhavant vihaparatracha. O heroes, now please return home. May your fame sanctify the world, and may the Vedic hymns ever be fresh in your minds, both in this life and the next. Guru naivang anugyatau rate na lira hangasa ayat tau svaparang tata prajanya nidanena vai. Thus receiving their guru's permission to leave, the two lords returned to their city on their chariot, which moved as swiftly as the wind and resounded like a cloud. Samanandan prajasarva drishvarama janardano apashyantyo bhavayani nashtalabda dana iva. All the citizens rejoiced upon seeing Krishna and Balaram, whom they had not seen for many days, and the people felt just like those who had lost their wealth and then regained it. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to the 10th canto, 45th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Krishna Rescues His Teacher's Son. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganitam Vitam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha. So, Krishna and Balaram, they are the original spiritual masters, and they are teaching by their example that one should faithfully serve one's spiritual master. Even God Himself, you see, He faithfully serves His spiritual master. In fact, they were so enthusiastic, you see. In other words, not just what the spiritual master tells me. But then they said, please select another boon. In other words, what's more service we can render? Guru Maharaj, you've asked us to do this service. Now we have done it. Now, please give us some more service, you see. That is the attitude of the disciple. See how Krishna is teaching by his example. Not that, well, I don't really like to do this service because you're my guru and you told me to do it. All right, I'll do it. Now I'm finished. Thank God I'm done. Now I can go eat and sleep, you see. No. Now I've done the service. Now please give me some more service, Guru Maharaj. And when you finish that, now please give me some more service, you see. That's the mood of the disciple. Give me more service, more service, more service. Actually, we are very indebted to our spiritual master because he is saving us from this material world. So, how do you repay the debt? You render service to the spiritual master. Krishna says, Sevaya. But by whose mercy are you able to render that service? It is the mercy of the spiritual master. Therefore, the more you try to pay off the debt, the more you go deeper into debt. Because whatever you do to pay off the debt you owe your spiritual master, it's by his mercy that you're able to do that. Therefore, you become more and more and more indebted to your spiritual master for all of eternity. Hopelessly in debt. You can never get out. And every attempt you make to get out of debt, you go more into debt, you see. So we like being in debt like this, you see. This kind of debtor's prison, yes, we will live in this sort of debtor's prison. the lotus feet of our spiritual master, that is the most wonderful debtor's prison. You see. We become completely captured by the indebtedness to our spiritual master. That is called gratefulness, you see. I'm very much grateful to my spiritual master. This attitude of gratitude is necessary. Because if you simply do mechanically your service with no feeling of gratitude, you see, that means you're not advancing in Krishna consciousness. Of course, there's advancement. You're getting purified, and that's a fact. But the goal is you have to serve in a mood of love. And that's the goal. In the beginning, there is sometimes force. You must do this, you must do that. It's like the little child. Is he jumping up and down in ecstasy the first day he has to go to school? Oh, whoopee, I've been waiting for this day. I go to school now, you see. No more running and playing. Now I get to put on a little uniform or whatever it is, and I get to go to school. Is he all excited about it? Generally, no. Even Prabhupada, they had to take some man to make sure he went to the school. Some man would take him to the school. So the child, he does not want to go to school, you see. His nature is he wants to run and play. But he's forced to go to the school. And by that force, gradually he develops taste. It's like the teacher forces him to learn to read. Okay, students, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You see, he learns the alphabet. He learns how to read, you see. He doesn't want to, but he's forced to learn how to read. But after some time, what happens? He's reading on his own. He's excited. He finds some books, he reads the books. He's very happy and inspired to read, you see. In the beginning, he was forced to learn how to read, but now he's reading, he's blissfully reading, you see. He's developed a taste for reading, you see. So in the same way, in Krishna consciousness, in the beginning, sometimes we have no taste. We're doing it out of force. Well, you must do this. But by dutifully carrying out the instruction given to us by our spiritual master, dutifully carrying it out, then gradually that natural feeling comes, that ecstasy of Krishna consciousness gradually awakens in the heart. And then we'll say, please give me another service. We'll feel like it. Oh wow, I was so ecstatic doing that service. Now please give me another service, you see. We're begging for more service, just like Krishna and Balaram here begging Krishna. Speaking, it looks like. Oh, they said. In Sanskrit is they said. Both of them are saying. Both of them are requesting more service. So in this way we can learn from Krishna how to become the perfect disciple, you see. In Balaram, how to become perfect disciple. Always wanting more service, more service, more service, more service. Actually, Prabhupada has already given us unlimited service. So you don't have to worry about running out of service. Prabhupada gave us a service to make the whole world Krishna conscious. Very big service he has given us, you see. He wants that every home on the whole planet shall have a full set of the books. Just see how much service we have to do. We have to put a full set of Prabhupada's books in every home. We have to teach everyone how to chant Hare Krishna, how to bow down to Krishna, how to follow the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. Such a huge task. He wants the whole world to become fixed in Krishna consciousness. So we have our service cut out for us. We have big, big service to do. How to make the whole world Krishna conscious. Beginning with ourselves. So if we take this service very seriously, yes, I must become Krishna conscious. I must become solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness. And then try our level best to spread it as much as we are able to, by our example and by our words. Then our lives will become glorious. We'll become very happy and satisfied. Why? Because Prabhupada will be pleased with us. In other words, if you want genuine happiness, you have to please the spiritual master. You have to. You may think, well, that's okay, but I need to serve my senses also. I need to satisfy my senses. Otherwise, I'll be frustrated if I don't serve my senses. For keeping healthy, that is a rule. One can take whatever sense gratification one needs for remaining healthy, to keep the body fit for doing devotional service. But beyond what is necessary for good health, it is simply overindulgence. And it doesn't make the mind peaceful or happy. It makes the mind agitated. If we overindulge our senses, we will not be peaceful and happy. We'll become miserable. So therefore, we should take whatever sense gratification is necessary to be healthy, and the balance energy should go completely into devotional service. In this way, we'll make very, very steady, rapid progress on the pathway back to Krishna. This is what we should see, that every day am I advancing in Krishna consciousness. Just like a businessman, every day he wants to make some profit. Just like I know one godbrother, he's from a Jewish family. And he said, he quoted something he must have gotten from his heritage. He said, another day, another dollar. A Jewish businessman, he thinks, another day, another dollar. I made $1 profit, and my day was, you know, if I make $1, I must every day go advance my business, you see. Another day, another dollar, he told me one day. He was doing some painting business to raise money for the temple. He was very happy and alive and doing business, he said. Another day, another dollar. So in this way we have a mood of Krishna consciousness. Every day I must advance myself in Krishna consciousness. What advancement I made today, you see. How did I improve my Krishna consciousness today? We should always be introspective to see like that. That every day, what have I done to increase my Krishna consciousness? To become more humble, to become more learned, to become more enthusiastic, to become more patient, to become more appreciative of the Vaishnavas. Is there some way that today I increase my Krishna consciousness? You see. If every day you'll advance just a little teeny bit, it adds up day after day, week after week, year after year. Before you know it, you'll be a pure devotee. If every day you advance a little bit in Krishna consciousness, even just a tiny little bit. So every day we should be pushing ourselves. How can I advance today? What's an anartha? One of my anarthas I can work on today, you see. Is it my laziness? Is it my stupidity? Is it my arrogance? My false pride. What anartha can I work on today? You see. So in this way, we're always trying to advance in Krishna consciousness. Then the Krishna will become very pleased. Oh, this devotee is very sincere. You see. If we have that one thing, sincerity, then everything else will follow. If you're sincere, then everything will come. Determination, enthusiasm, patience. All good qualities will come, simply if you're sincere. I was making this point in our New Zealand temple, Auckland temple. And after the class, when Mataji came up, she said, well, what to do if I have no sincerity? What's my hope then? So I asked her, I said, well, are you sincerely saying that you have no sincerity? She was a very smart Mataji. She said, I'm not saying it sincerely enough. So actually that was her sincerity, you see. She was gonna keep herself in a humble position. I can't even sincerely say that I lack sincerity. I can't even purely, with pure sincerity, say that I lack sincerity. Only partial sincerity. So in this way, you see, we have to learn how to become very humble. Considering ourselves, you know, nonsense rascals, you know. Asadam bhav. What does Krishna say? Namang duskritina mudha prapanyante naradama mayaya parita jnana asadam bhavam ashrita. There are four kinds of miscreants that do not surrender unto me. Well, I should think, well, certainly that doesn't apply to me because, you know, I'm fully surrendered to Krishna. No, we should think, I'm not fully surrendered to Krishna. I'm not fully surrendered. I want to be, but I'm not. So in what way am I into these, am I matching these four characteristics? In what way what kind of duskritina am I? Or what mixture do I have of these qualities? Mudha, Naradama, Maya, Hapravidhagana, and Asadam Bhava. What mixture of these qualities do I have? You see, we should all be very good at analyzing ourselves. Every devotee should be a very good psychoanalyst. He should be able to analyze his own heart and see, well, in what way am I deficient in my Krishna consciousness? What way is my attitude not good? We should all be very, very expert at seeing, studying our own hearts. And say, so, well, I'm not very good at it. So that's why we have older devotees. That's why we have guru. That's why we have senior Vaishnavas, because they point out our faults. You see? And if somebody points out the fault, we get angry. What are you saying? Yeah. You see, how can we advance in Krishna consciousness? If someone points out my fault, I should think, oh, thank you very much. Please give me more mercy. You've been very kind to point out my fault. Now please show me some more of my faults. This is very great mercy you have given me today. You pointed out my fault. Now kindly, if you wouldn't mind taking the trouble, please continue to point out my faults to me. Whenever you see a fault, please let me know what my fault is, you see. This is the attitude that enables one to advance very steadily in Krishna consciousness. Lower than the straw in the street, you see. I think, oh, I'm a big, big Vaishnava, you know. No. I'm just a rascal who's desiring to become a devotee of Krishna, you see. Actually, we can't even claim to be devotees of Krishna. Devotee means devoted to Krishna. Completely devoted to Krishna. That's the real meaning of devotee, is it? Lord Chaitanya said, I am not a devotee. So what is our position? He said, I have no devotion to Krishna. And the proof is that I continue to live in the absence of Krishna. If I had any devotion for Krishna, I would die immediately in his absence. Therefore, the fact that I am living proves I have no devotion. Prabhupada also said he has no devotion. He said, even though I've been designated Bhaktivedanta, I have no devotion and I have no knowledge. So if Lord Chaitanya and Prabhupada are saying they have no devotion, what should we think about ourselves? Oh yes, I am great, great Vaishnava. But the devotees are low class because they don't recognize my great devotion. Is it? Don't fall into this trap. It's called false pride. One has to humbly think, I have no love for Krishna. Lord Rupa Goswami is very nice to give in prayer. Na prema shravanadi bhaktir api vayogatava vaishnavo jnanam vashubha karma va kiyadaho satjastirapyasti va hinaratadikka sadaketai tatapyachedha mulasati he gopi jana balava vyatayate yaha madashaivamam. This is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.3.35. He says, I have no love for Krishna, nor do I have any attraction whatsoever to engage in hearing and chanting about Krishna. In addition to that, I come from a very low-class family, very low-class family. You see, I don't possess the mystic power of a Vaishnava. I don't have knowledge. I don't even have pious activities. On the whole, if you examine me, you will see I'm completely bereft of any qualification to engage in devotional service. But my dear Lord Gopi Jana Balava, most beloved maintainer of the gopis, because you have a big, big reputation, you're very, very famous for being merciful to those who are in the most fallen, deplorable state. Because of your extreme mercy on fallen souls like me, I have this unbreakable hope that is constantly in my heart that somehow or other I may be able to attain your divine lotus feet. But this hope is giving me pain. When I think about how unqualified I am to engage in Krishna consciousness, this is, Prabhupada gives this prayer in the Nectar of Devotion. Just see the mood of Rupa Goswami. He's teaching us. I have no love. I have no attraction for hearing and chanting. I have no good qualities whatsoever, but I'm just hoping, my Lord, because of your extreme mercy, that somehow or other, I have this hope. I have a great hope that by your extreme mercy that I can come to Krishna, I can come to the transcendental platform, become relieved from my suffering in this material existence. So, I can ask now if there's any questions. Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabhavad Grayam Indriyai. This verse explains that one cannot understand the Lord by the senses. But by engaging the tongue in chanting, it looks contradictory here because the tongue is also a sense. Well, that means you didn't read the second half of the verse. Atakshi Krishna Nabadi Nabhavad Grayam Indriyai Sevon Mukehi Jivado Svayam Eva Svadadyadaha. But by engaging those senses, beginning with the tongue in the service of the Lord, then the transcendental name, fame, forms, pastime, entourage, etc. of the Supreme Personality of God had become revealed to him. Actually, it's interesting. Before I was joined up the Hare Krishna movement, I was a rather proud, puffed up jnani I used to sometimes talk. I liked the devotees. I liked the kirtan. I loved prasadam. But I kept my position as a jnani, you see. I thought I was more smart than the devotees. It's pretty stupid. I was pretty stupid. But I thought I was more intelligent than the devotees. So one day on the Berkeley campus, University of California at Berkeley campus, I met one brahmachari. His name was Chichukananda Das Brahmachari. And I said, you know, he approached me to preach to me. You know. And I said, you know, you Hare Krishnas, you, according to your philosophy, your senses are imperfect. So therefore, how you can know that Krishna is God? Your senses are imperfect. He went, he didn't know what to say. Actually, I defeated him. And that made me even more puffed up. I defeated that Hare Krishna, you see. He couldn't say anything. He was speechless. He didn't know what to say. You, Hare Krishna, say your senses are imperfect. So how with your imperfect senses can you say that Krishna is God? Your senses are imperfect. You see? Now, if he had known this verse by Rupa Goswami, he could have easily defeated me. You see? But he didn't. He wasn't familiar with the verse. Because this verse says, yes, with your imperfect senses, you cannot know. That's a fact. But if you engage your senses, sevon mukehi jivado, beginning with your tongue, if you engage your senses in the service of Krishna, then you become realized, you see. So the idea is, if you engage your imperfect senses in the service of Krishna, your senses become perfect. And then you can understand with your perfect senses, you see. So there's no contradiction. You simply have to perfect your senses. You see, instead of looking at using your eyes to look at check at all the beautiful girls walking down the street, you see. You use your eyes to look at the beautiful Shri Shri Radha Golokananda, you see. Instead of using your ears to hear the latest pop songs, you know, you hear Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. Do you use your tongue to smoke cigarettes or make a little visit over to that rascal place over there, McDonald's? Is there? You taste prasad, you see? So in this way, if you engage your senses in the service of Krishna, Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam, then your senses become purified, and then with perfect senses you can understand Krishna as God. It is said that whenever the Lord appears, Balaram also appears like Ram and Lakshman. Who is Balaram in the case of Vamanadev, Parashuram, and Buddha? I don't know. I'm not going to speculate. You can research it in Prabhupada's books. It's an interesting question. I don't know the answer. It is good to be greedy. Is it good to be greedy for the service to the spiritual master? Krishna bhakti rasa babita mati kriyatam yadi kutopalabhyate tattadalayam apimulyam ekalam janmakoti sukritairanalabhyate. Pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by executing pious activities in hundreds and millions of lives. It can be achieved only by paying one price, and that is intense greed to achieve it. Therefore, if it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. So where is it available? See, where is Krishna? That the spiritual master is the merchant. It's like that song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bolo bolo sukher kabor gai, bolo sukher kabor gai, bolo sukher kabor gai, bolo sukher kabor gai. Surabhi kunjete namer hat. Kuleiche kodanitai kodanitai. So Lord Nityananda, actually, he is in his Namahat, he is making it available. And the spiritual master is the Namahat agent. He will take you to that Namahat, he will connect you with Lord Nityananda, and he will get all your desires fulfilled, you see. So you should be very greedy to serve the spiritual master so he can connect you with Lord Nityananda. You should be very, very greedy to and to please your spiritual master by serving him as much as you possibly can, 24 hours a day, in all times, all places, and all circumstances. Of course, physically, there's a limit, you see. It's like when Prabhupada was here, it was a big, big competition, you see. Who can open the door for him, you know? Who can hold the umbrella? You know, just like I remember my godbrother Suraprabhu. He had the... Prabhupada was getting ready to walk from his quarters over to... I forget his name. That friend in Vrindavan. I forget his name. But Prabhupada... Suraprabhu was there waiting with the umbrella so he could hold the umbrella and walk with Prabhupada. And then a godbrother came and said, "What are you holding an umbrella for?" "Oh, I'm going to hold this umbrella." When Prabhupada goes in, he grabbed it. It was a sannyasi. He grabbed it away from the brahmachari was holding it. So he took his, he pulled rank on the brahmachari and grabbed the Hare Krishna Prabhu and grabbed the umbrella, you see. So for personal service, there's competition. You know, I want to be the one who cooks for my spiritual master. Or I want to be the one that does this or that. That's sometimes difficult because there's so much competition. But that's why actually the Vani Seva is more important, you see. Because Vapu Seva, there's always some limit. There's always some limit. But Vani Seva, serving the order of the spiritual master, then there's no limit. Prabhupada said, "Become guru, deliver the whole world." So, well, there's a lot of world out there waiting to be delivered, you see. There's tons of world out there waiting to be delivered. So if you really want to please the spiritual master and serve him, then think how you can spread this Krishna consciousness movement. Think how you can distribute books. Think how you can do Harinams more and more and more. Think how you can make devotees more and more and more. Think how you can beautify, make beautiful temples more and more and more. You see this? So there's no, you don't have to worry about competition. The whole world is out there waiting to be made Krishna conscious. So if you really want to be greedy to serve the spiritual master, think about it, serve his mission. Then there'll be no limit to how much you can do. What relation does pious activities have with bhakti? Well, I just answered that. Rupa Goswami just answered that in the verse I just quoted. He said, you can do pious activities for hundreds and millions of lifetimes and still not attain Krishna consciousness. You have to have loyam, greed, for bhakti. That's how you get it. So, pious activities are good. They are sattvic. They put you in a state. It's like, I would compare it to the airport over here. You see? Just like on Saturday we are flying to Johannesburg. I'm doing an initiation there on Sunday in Pretoria. So, some disciples, initiating some disciples there. So, flying the airplane, that's compared to bhakti. And going to the airport, that's pious activities, you see. Going to the airport is not enough. You can sit at the airport and never go anywhere if you don't have a ticket, you see. The ticket is layam, greed. That greed for bhakti, that is the ticket. The pious activities are good. Now you're at the airport, you see. A pious man, he can hear from a spiritual master. He can read the Vedic wisdom. A pious man, you see. But unless he actually becomes greedy for bhakti, he's going to sit there at the airport. He's not going anywhere. How can neophyte devotees approach non-devotees in the hope of serving Krishna and Guru without being diverted and negatively influenced by the non-devotee? Our principle is, as taught by Gauranga, asatsanga tyag, give up the association of non-devotees. But what do I do? I mean, am I supposed to go live in the forest, or what am I supposed to do? No, this means you don't take their association, you give them your association, you see. That is the meaning. If you go there thinking, well, you know, I need to get, these people are a great blessing for me, I need to learn from them. Of course, we can learn in another sense, but our one source of guidance and inspiration is Krishna, Krishna's representative, the spiritual master, and the Vaishnava. This is our only source of inspiration and guidance. If you understand that these persons are suffering in the darkness of ignorance, and I need to somehow inspire them to come to Krishna consciousness, whether it's at work, out preaching, on book distribution, whatever, out shopping, whatever your situation you may be in, you see, you should always think, these people are suffering in the cycle of birth and death. What can I do to somehow attract them to Krishna consciousness? Just like when I go shopping, I don't go undercover. I go in my dhoti, my tilak, you see. So the girl at the checkout, the register, she said, what is that on your forehead? So I told her, I said, this is the sign of someone who was conquered over death. And if you like, I will teach you how to conquer over death. Just at the checkout stand, you see. So in this way, we should always be thinking how we can, you know, help these people. So if you're in the mood of being the leader, which actually you are, when you're in the association of non-devotees, you are the leader. Even if you're a young, brand new devotee, you are the leader. You are the leader among that group of people. So if you're always in the mood of leader, I am the leader, it's my duty to help these people come to Krishna consciousness, then you will not be influenced by the negativity. You will be uplifting them by the way that you interact with them. So don't take their association, give them your association, whether it's your mundane family members who are not devotees, whether it's your co-workers, whatever situation, the co-students, whatever situation you may be interacting, you're going on a book distribution. It's the same principle. Give association. Don't take it. Give it. But at the same time, we can humbly learn from them. And don't be too fanatical about it, because they have good qualities. They're just being used in the wrong way. And it is said you can take gold even from a filthy place. So you may find that others are more qualified than you are in many ways. And a humble person will see how other people are more qualified than me. If they'd only been a devotee, they'd been a much better devotee than me. They have this good quality, they have that good quality, they're more enthusiastic than me, they're more hardworking than me. You see, Vaishnava will see the good qualities even in the non-devotees, thinking that their good qualities are being spoiled because they are not Krishna conscious. If they were a devotee, they'd be 10 times better devotee than me, that they're just unfortunate. In other words, the devotee is not proud and puffed up, thinking, yeah, I'm really great, and these people are a bunch of scum. No. He's in a humble mood. He's appreciating. Well, they have these good qualities, they're just being misused, that's all. So let me help them. So in this way, in one of your quotes, you stated that the mystic power of Vaishnava, yes, this is Rupa Goswami. Does advanced devotees achieve mystic powers? Yes. What are the mystic powers? They're actually all the mystic powers, the Ashta Siddhis, are possessed by pure devotees, although they don't demonstrate them. Sometimes Prabhupada did show his mystic powers, however. One time, my godbrother, Hari Balas Prabhu, he had come from the UK, and he was associating with Prabhupada in Paris. And I remember the story correctly. Prabhupada was asking how he was going back to the UK. And he said, well, I'm going with the boat, and we're going from, Dover and Calais? Calais was one city. What was the other city? It's in France side.
Calais.
Anyway, he said, well, I'm going from this city. And Prabhupada said, no, you're going from Calais. And he said, no, Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, you're wrong. We're not going from Calais. We're going from this other, the boat leaves from this other city. Prabhupada said, no, you're going from Calais. And he was thinking, what am I doing here? I'm arguing with my spiritual master, you know. I should just be quiet. And so he went to the city, and they said, due to bad weather today, ladies and gentlemen, today, due to bad weather, the boat is going from Calais. We rerouted the boat. And he was thinking, oh my, he was amazed. Prabhupada knew that the boat was not going from the normal city, it was going from Calais. So Prabhupada had these mystic powers, you see. But although he didn't generally show, there's another pastime, similar pastime in a morning walk in India. The devotee was on a morning walk and some plane, you know, was flying. And Prabhupada was going from Delhi to Mumbai, you know, and heading to Mumbai. So the devotee, Prabhupada said, where's that airplane going? He said, oh, Prabhupada, that's going to Mumbai. He said, no, Prabhupada. Said, no, that's going to Delhi. He said, no, Prabhupada, it's come from Delhi and it's going to Mumbai. And then the plane turned around and went back the other direction. So actually, the pure devotee has all mystic powers. He has all mystic powers. But then they don't show them, you see, because then people run after the mystic powers instead of bhakti. You see. I've noticed while reciting the verse on the board, advanced devotees recited it first, and discarded it through a kind of disciplic succession till the neophyte ones discarded it. No, we don't discard it. Or maybe I'm not reading it.
Descended
it. I don't know. Is this established system? Is recited. Actually, this is our etiquette. I mean, that's an etiquette. You let the seniors go first. There's a senior devotee, you let him chant the mantra first. Not that you jump in. There's actually an offense given in the Bhagavatam, Maryada Vyatikrama, that if one is too eager to push oneself forward in the presence of senior devotees, that's an offense. If there are senior devotees, you let them do the preaching, you see. That's the... So in the same thing, actually, we should let the senior devotees go first. That is etiquette. We should honor our seniors, you see. Not be too eager to preach. If there's some senior devotee, let them preach, and you hear. Even though we're all told by Lord Chaitanya to preach, we should understand time, place, and circumstance. When a senior devotee is there, let him preach, and I will listen, and that way I will learn how to preach better. To desire to have a dead son back to life is a material desire. Why did Sandipani Muni ask Krishna to get his son back? Actually, Sandipani Muni's wife, it was her idea. That doesn't mean it was material. Actually, it is a great pastime. Here was a pastime because the son had been captured by a demon who was actually a devotee, who needed to be chastised by the Lord in order to become relieved from his demoniac situation. That Panchajana demon actually was a devotee who had been unfortunately put in a situation. So it was a pastime of the Lord to relieve Panchajana from his condition. Okay. Oh, there's a backside to it. Among the ladies, Guru Mata recited first. We are so infected by the siptic succession, which is so nice. But what should we do when gossips descend through the siptic succession amongst devotees? The Pajalpa Sampradaya? Actually, Prabhupada was aware of the Pajalpa Sampradaya. We used to have the old Pajalpa Sampradaya that Prabhupada said. Someone said, Prabhupada says, and everybody's, oh, Prabhupada said. Prabhupada said, you're only allowed to have 7 shiktis at breakfast, Prabhu. That used to be a Prabhupada says, you know. 7 shiktis. If you have 8, you're going to fall down and have illicit sex. I mean, it was like that in the old days. 7 shiktis, Prabhu. That's it. Don't ask for an 8th one. Don't you dare. Because Prabhupada said, it's that kind of stuff, you know. So actually, then there was a wonderful letter that Prabhupada wrote. I have a copy of the letter. Prabhupada said, there are so many false things in ISKCON. Prabhupada said this, Prabhupada said that. I was in Kijai when I saw that letter. It like blew away all the crud, you know. All the gossip crud was blown away by that letter, you know. Just because someone says Prabhupada says doesn't mean it's authoritative. You see? Prabhupada said, everything that I've stated is in my books. So you have to see if it's in the books. So if some gossip comes down the tubes, is it in the books? Is it bona fide? You should always check. Before you pass something on, is this authorized? Is this legitimate? What is the... You should be very skeptical about passing something on down the grapevine. Otherwise, you're part of the... Instead of being a part of the solution for the Kali Yuga, you're part of the problem. You become a representative of Kali if you pass on false rumors. You're not a devotee of Krishna, you're a devotee of Kali if you pass on false rumors. You see? I know they go around. I've been the victim of quite a few myself. It happens. So we have to not... be a party to bed to false things. So this is the last one now. If someone is reading Srila Prabhupada's books and at the same time reading the books of Hinduism and is influenced by them, how we convince them to read of the real philosophy? Actually, books of Hinduism, that's a joke. Because there's no such thing as Hinduism, actually. I remember when One sannyasi, he made a book called The Authentic Encyclopedia of Hinduism, and I was just laughing. That sannyasi fell down. I'm not supposed to talk about his fall down. I've been told not to talk about it, but it wasn't ISKCON. That sannyasi completely fell down. He was sentenced to 20 years in prison, and he snuck out of the country to avoid going to jail. You see. And he wrote the Authentic Encyclopedia of Hinduism, that his big, you know, magnum opus, Encyclopedia of Hinduism. So this is bogus. Books of Hinduism means it's nonsense. Hinduism is a term coined by the Muslims. It's not a bona fide Vedic term at all. Well, I'm reading Hinduism books. You're reading nonsense, sir. Now, how do you convince them of the real philosophy? Well, you have to be convinced yourself. That's the first thing. You have to be absolutely, totally convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that everybody is his eternal servant, whether they're whatever they may be, Hindus, Muslims, Christians, everyone is Krishna's servants as confirmed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jivara Svarupahai, Krishnara Nityadas. You have to be absolutely convinced. If your conviction is strong, it's unflinching. Yasya deve para bhaktir tata deve tata guru tasyaiti katitahirata prakashante mahatmanaha. You see? Only unto those souls who have unflinching faith in the words, implicit unflinching faith in the words of Guru and Krishna are all the imports of Vedic knowledge revealed. If you have that unflinching faith, implicit unflinching faith in the words of Guru and Krishna, then you can convince anybody. Prabhupada sent me one letter. He said, if you will simply present these books in the most, what is the word? How do you say? The best. He was saying with the best descriptive terms, yeah. He said, best descriptive terms. He says you can convince anybody, even an atheist, to purchase these books. The best descriptive language, yes. That's what he said. So you have to become very expert, Prabhus and Matajis, in presenting the Siddhanta given by Prabhupada. Very, very expert in how to use language in such a way that people are amazed. I've never heard such an amazing description in my life. You see. If you present it as some kind of fanaticism, then they'll go, well, you know, I'm not interested. But you present this as Raja Vidya, the topmost science. That one who knows this science, he becomes a perfect knower of everything. He becomes perfect in physics, perfect in geography, perfect in astronomy, perfect in chemistry, perfect in biology, perfect in psychology, perfect in military art, perfect in music, perfect in drama, perfect in history, you see. If you present it in this way, they're going to say, why should I waste my time with any of their books? I'm just going to read Prabhupada's books from now on, you see. So in this way, you have to become very expert in using the best descriptive language to convince people, stop reading all this garbage. You see? Don't waste your time with garbage. If you read garbage, you become garbage. That's it. Throw away the garbage, read Prabhupada's books. These are the most powerful books written in the history of the universe. One man, he bought a set of the books in the airport, and he came back to the devotee one day. He said, you know, this amazing thing happened. My house burned down, and everything was destroyed except for those books. You see? These books are mystical. These books have power. These books have the shakti to deliver the entire world back to Goloka Vrindavan. So you must have absolute conviction that these books are the only books for the whole world, and every other book should just be, what is that word? They should all be de-emphasized very much. I mean, they don't compare. Even Shakespeare, you see, the great Shakespeare, he doesn't compare with Srila Vyasadeva. Samashvataye palapallava plavam mahatpadang punya yasho murari bhavam bodhir vatsa parang param badam 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 yagra badam natesham. Can Shakespeare touch it? He can't even come close. He can't come close to Vyasadeva. I mean, there's no comparison to these literatures. Even the great Shakespeare, he's just a flunky compared to Vyasadeva. So you must have this conviction, and you must become very expert at using language. Uttama shloka, choice words, you see, to describe uttama shloka. So we'll stop here. Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.